1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. Now Frank read these verses a few moments ago. And in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is diving headlong into a rebuttal against these people who would deny the resurrection, the future resurrection of the saints. And all through the chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul makes one argument after the next, to show that indeed the resurrection of the saints is a reality. After all, if you deny the possibility of the resurrection, are you going to deny the resurrection of Christ? He makes that argument. He says, if Christ is not risen, our faith is vain. We're still in our sins. Well, if Christ rose from the grave, then we too can rise from the grave. In fact, we can rise because he rose from the grave. And Paul argues that all through the chapter here. But he begins the argument by starting off with a very basic and simple truth, and that is the ABCs of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because essentially, Paul says, one of the very basic and most essential aspects of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the resurrection. If it weren't for the resurrection, the gospel itself would not be possible. And I believe that Paul gives us the very basics of the gospel of Christ here, and that we often need to be reminded of the basics. But what is the word gospel? Well, we often hear somebody say, well, the gospel is good news. Well, if you look at the Greek word, in the Greek, when you transliterate that Greek word, it is pronounced something like euangelion. Now, we say evangelize. And so really the noun in the Greek would be what we would say for an evangelist. That's what the word gospel means. And it comes from that Greek word evangelizo, which means to evangelize. And so when we say a gospel preacher, what we're saying is someone who evangelizes. That is, someone who spreads the good news. And the good news, obviously, in the New Testament context of the word gospel, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, the Lord has come and the Lord is risen. The word appears over 90 times in the New Testament. It's something that's very important that we need to continue to be reminded of and to be familiar with. I want us to think about three things this morning when we consider the ABCs of the gospel. In the first place, I want us to think about the fact that the gospel must be accepted. The gospel must be accepted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in our passage, in verse 1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received." And so not only did Paul preach the gospel to them at Corinth, but we're told that they received it. Now, in the Greek, the word receive is defined to receive near or to associate with oneself. And so these people had associated themselves with the gospel that Paul preached to him. Paul isn't just speaking here of someone who has simply heard the gospel. There's a sense in which we could say you have received the gospel because you have heard the gospel. But Paul isn't speaking in this sense. Paul is speaking in terms of accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ, of association oneself with it, or literally being taken with it. Hearing the gospel is one thing. Hearing the gospel is necessary for faith, Romans 10, 17. Hearing the gospel is that first step that is essential for salvation, but hearing alone will not save the soul. Matter of fact, knowing the Bible inside and out alone will not save one soul. Several years ago, a preacher friend of mine was driving through a small town, and he was listening to a local radio station, and they had as a guest Madeline Murray O'Hare. And you may know her as the famous activist atheist who was responsible almost single-handedly for getting prayer removed from schools. And here she was on the radio offering any of the listeners to come and debate her about anything in relation to the existence of God. And so my friend, he took her up on it. He drove down to the radio station and he came into the studio and began to talk to this woman. And he told me, he said, that woman could quote from memory large sections of Scripture accurately. He said, and she did it constantly. She never opened her Bible, and yet she quoted word for word, verbatim, large passages of Scripture. Now, she didn't do so in order to honor it. She didn't do so in order to teach it to others or in order to be obedient or to please God. She did it to mock it and to criticize it, but she knew the Word of God well. And the point he was making to me is she probably knew the Word of God more than most Christians I've met. But the point I'm making here is, I don't care how well she knows the Word of God, if she don't put it to practice in her life, which she certainly did not, she's going to be lost eternally. Paul himself had received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Drop down to verse 3. It says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." Paul was a recipient of the gospel of Christ. He had heard the gospel many times at one point in his life and had rejected it, had decided that this Jesus was an imposter and that he was a blasphemer. And all of his disciples, they're blasphemers too, because they're claiming that Jesus is God, that he's the Son of God. And anyone who makes that claim is worthy of nothing short of death. And so Paul said when they were put to death, "I cast my vote against them." That was Paul previously. But Paul finally received the gospel. Paul finally accepted the gospel. And I think it's important to be reminded of exactly how Paul accepted the gospel. We know that the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And we know that the Lord told him to go into the city and there you will be told what you must do. And we know by a later account in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 that Ananias came in having been sent by God and told Paul what he needed to do. And what he said was, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." That's what Paul needed to do in order to wash away his sins. Mark chapter 16:16, the Lord said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Peter said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Later, he wrote in 1 Peter 3:21, "There's an antitype which now saves us, baptism." Paul reminded the Roman brethren of how they had become Christians over in Romans chapter 6 in the first few verses. And we know this passage very, very well. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life." And then in verse 17 he reminded them, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form or that pattern of doctrine to which you were delivered." The form or the pattern refers back to the first few verses, and that is when they were baptized with Christ. This is how folks receive the gospel. Now, there are many today, they've heard the gospel. And they claim to have accepted the gospel, but they haven't really accepted it, have they? You talk to them and they've got their bumper stickers and they've got their Bibles that proclaim, "I love Jesus." But then when you quote to them the words of Jesus, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved," all of a sudden they're rejecting that. Have they really accepted the gospel? Not really, even though they claim that they have. And so when we think about the ABCs of the gospel, the first thing we notice is that the gospel must be accepted. Number two, not only must the gospel be accepted, but the gospel must be broadcast. I like that word broadcast. It means to cast or scatter abroad over an area, as in sowing a seed. Or it means to spread widely, to disseminate. For example, she broadcast the news all over town. Now Paul said in our text in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, I declare to you the gospel. In verse 3, Paul said, for I delivered to you first. Now, delivered in the Greek means to cast. Literally means to cast. The gospel is to be broadcast. And we know that the gospel must be broadcast by the church. As a matter of fact, that was the eternal, God's eternal purpose of the church. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul is reminding these brethren here about this essential truth regarding the church and regarding the gospel. And he says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, that's the gospel, the manifold wisdom of God, might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul said, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. It had been broadcast. Now it's interesting. In the Greek, the word, Greek word for the term here, sound forth, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it literally means to echo forth or to resound or resound. To echo forth. I heard a story about a captain who saved his crew with an echo. It seems they were on the ship and they were out in the water, and there was a great fog over the sea. And they couldn't see 5 feet in front of them. And the captain was concerned, and so he was out on the front of the ship, and he told them, blow the whistle. And so they blew the whistle. And then he called an all stop. He said, I hear an echo. There's something dead ahead. And sure enough, the fog slightly lifted and there was a steel scow that had broken loose from a nearby harbor and drifted. And because that captain heard that echo, he saved the lives of everyone on that ship. Listen, the church, like its founder, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to seek and save those who are lost. The world is full of those who are lost in a sea of fog, drifting helplessly towards certain destruction. They need to hear the echo of the gospel. Once we receive the gospel, once we accept the gospel, we're saved. That's great. But now we need to resound that gospel. Now we need to echo that gospel. And we need to share it with others, because there are many more. They are lost. The Apostle Paul, he was saved, but he wasn't satisfied with that. When his sins were washed away, he didn't just sit back and say, okay, I'm good to go. No, he got busy immediately, we're told in chapter 9, immediately preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew that we needed to echo the gospel. A church should never be guilty of keeping the gospel to itself. It should resound the gospel. To keep it to itself would be to neglect its God-given purpose. You know, there are so many local churches out there who have become so busy with so many other things. Some have gone into the social draw. They're interested in the suppers and the games. They're so distracted with material things that they have no time to sound forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said about the gospel in Romans 1:16 that it is the power of God unto salvation. And he said, I'm not ashamed of it. And yet many local churches, it would seem, are ashamed of the gospel. They say, well, that doesn't work. We can't just preach the gospel. That won't bring people in. But if we offer them food, if we offer them fun, that'll bring them in the doors. It will, but what will it convert them to? The gospel? No. It'll convert them to the food and the fun, and you take away what they're converted to, and they'll go away. You take away the food and the fun, and see how many people you have filling your pews. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, in relation to the gospel, by which also you are saved. It's the gospel that saves. And that's the business of the church, is the gospel. The Lord said, I must be about my Father's business. Well, his church must be about the Father's business. And that's the business of sounding forth the gospel, broadcasting it far and wide, sowing that seed so that the lost may be saved. Jesus said in Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God, and the church needs to sow that seed. Not only the church, but the individual Christian ought to resound the gospel, ought to broadcast the gospel, echo it out. Remember those Christians in Acts chapter 8 when that severe persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem and all the saints except for the apostles were scattered? And we're told in verse 4 they went everywhere preaching the gospel, almost lost their lives for believing that gospel. That didn't stop them. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. I once read of an atheist who is reported to have said to a Christian, if I believed what you say you believe about the coming doom, I would crawl across the city with bare knees over broken glass to warn the lost of the judgment to come. And yet many Christians today won't even so much as walk across a nicely paved street in cushiony $100 tennis shoes to share the gospel with their next door neighbor. The gospel message must be accepted. The gospel message must be broadcast. Number 3, the gospel must be conserved. That is, it must be protected, defended, contended for. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our text, verse 2. Paul says, by which, speaking of the gospel, by which also you are saved. Then he said, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you. Now when Paul first came to Corinth, we're told in Acts 18 verse 4 that he reasoned with them in the synagogue. Now in the Greek, that word reason means to say thoroughly or to discuss in argument or exhortation, to dispute. Now through his reasoning, through the Apostle Paul's reasoning, we've learned in verse 8 of Acts 18 that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, was converted. That he believed on the Lord with all his household. Because of Paul's standing fast in the gospel and holding fast to the word, the church at Corinth was born and souls were saved. And then he tells them to hold fast, 1 Corinthians 15, hold fast that word which I preach to you. The Greek there means to hold down or fast. It means to have, to hold fast, to keep in memory, to possess, to retain, to seize on, to stay, to take, to withhold. A Christian must do whatever it takes to protect the truth of the gospel, to cling to it. Because there are many out there who would twist and pervert the gospel and draw the faithful into religious error. Remember the Apostle Paul warned the Ephesian elders about this, Acts chapter 20 and verse 30. He said, also from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. There are people out there with the specific goal of drawing disciples away from Christ and unto themselves. And they don't come to you with a message that is clearly error. Their message can be very deceptive, and often they're very good at getting that message out. 1 John 4:1, John says, many false prophets have gone out into the world, and so we must test the spirits. In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, Paul said, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. And then he says, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And watch this. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. That's how people come and draw folks away from the church. They're great speakers. They have good arguments. They're fine debaters. They've got a humble demeanor very often. And so they win folks over. And folks leave the truth of the gospel. Those folks would have never left the truth if they'd had they known the truth well, would they? Because the best way to dispute error and to recognize error is to be well acquainted with the truth. That way when you hear error, you know it's error because you know what the truth is. And so Paul tells them, hold fast to the gospel. Conserve that gospel. Conserve it in your hearts. Conserve it in your lives. Those people at the churches of Galatia, many of them, they had failed to do this, hadn't they? Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. What was the problem? They did not hold fast or conserve the gospel. And then he says that they had been called to or turned away to a different gospel, which is not another. In other words, there's not really another true gospel. It's a false gospel. There's only one true gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Even if we are an angel from heaven preaching the gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, see that? Then what you have received, let him be accursed. In order to conserve the truth, we must know the truth, but we must also dispute error. Remember in Acts chapter 15 and verse 2, we're told in verse 1 that some men came from Judea, and they were teaching that unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. And verse 2 tells us that Paul and Barnabas had no small dispute and dissension with them. What were they trying to do? Conserve the truth of the gospel against those who would pervert it. Jude tells brethren in Jude verse 3, to contend earnestly for the faith. He goes on to describe people in the following verses who are trying to do what? Dispute and pervert the truth, and so we are to contend for it, right? So that we may conserve it. Remember Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5? He told those brethren, and this occurred because of false brethren. So there are false brethren who secretly bring in or secretly come in, try to steal away our liberty in Christ. Come in by stealth. And then verse 5, he said, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We did that. We stood up to them. We fought that error so that we might conserve the gospel of Jesus Christ. It must be conserved. You must remain faithful in it. Matter of fact, as I said a little later in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our main text, Paul begins to boldly contend for the truth of one of the basic tenets of the gospel, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So going back to the basics of the gospel, we see the ABCs of the gospel. Number one, we are reminded that the gospel must be accepted, must be obeyed. Number two, the gospel must be broadcast. It needs to be shared with others. And number three, the gospel must be conserved. We need to hold fast to it and never stray away from it. Let's pray.